Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Zvochim Daf Ayin Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence from the eighth line from the top on Daf Ayin Tes, Omer Aleph, Omar Rova. Omar Rova, Omur Rabbonan Betaimo, the Omur Rabbonan Berubo, the Omur Rabbonan Bechazusa. Rova introduces three declarations, that the Rabbonon determine mixtures by taste, the Rabbonon determine mixtures by the majority, and the Rabbonon determine mixtures, the identity of the mixture, by the look. Of course, each one of these points will be explained. The lettering that we've used, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, will now correspond to the Gemara and its respective letterings. Min b'she'eno mino, when you have a mixture of unlike substances, b'taimo, we evaluate the nature of the mixture by the taste. So that if you have, let us say, for simple purposes, for simple illustrations, you have some allowed food with some, let us say you have a pot of rice, and there is some forbidden meat that's cooked up together with the rice. If you can taste a meaty taste to the rice, that would be a forbidden mixture. If the taste of the meat is not perceived, then the mixture is allowed. That's a min b'she'eno mino, unlike substances, rice and meat. How do we determine it? We evaluate by asking, is the taste perceptible? The second rule, the second case, min b'mino b'ruba. When Rava said above that the rabbi said we determine mixtures by the rove, that's a case where you have two like substances. In general, we talk about where one is allowed and one is not allowed. It's true that this kind of situation can come up, as we saw in a previous sukkah on Daf Ayin Ches, even with two forbidden substances, but to keep things simple, we'll talk about two like substances. You have some a pot of meat. Part of it is kosher, and part of it is forbidden meat. Is the meat, is the pot kosher? Can you eat from this? Well, if the majority of the meat in the pot is kosher, then you can eat from it. We have to caution that in the context of our Gemara markings shiurim, we are not making any references to practical law or applied halacha. We're saying things simply for simple illustration's sake alone. The Gemara goes on. The third case, Hecha de'iko chazusa, where there is an issue of look, things that are dependent on appearances or hues or colors, then bimare. And this is the case when dealing with mikveh immersions. This examples of this we saw extensively in our previous shiur. As we go on in the Gemara, we see a semicolon. This is to create a sense of a bit of a pause before we go on in the Gemara, because the next comment, Upliga, the Rebbe Lozer, is really a throwback to Reish Lakish, who appeared on Daf Ayin Ches, Omid Aleph. With our numberings and markings, you can find things fairly easily. We have a bow tie over here, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, you see a number 2. Under that, we have an indication that this is a number 2 from Daf Ayin Ches, Omid Aleph, where you'll see Reish Lakish. What did Reish Lakish say on Daf Ayin Ches? Well, he said that Isurin Mevatlin Zeh. If you have two forbidden substances, the even though they're both forbidden, the forbidden substance that's greater in quantity has the capacity, has the power of voiding the other minority quantity prohibited substance. That approach is challenged by Rebbe Lozer. Upliga de Rebbe Lozer, Reish Lakish, who said Isurin Mevatlim Zeh, is at odds with Rebbe Lozer. Diyomer Rebbe Lozer, Kishem She'ein Mitzvah Is Mevatlei Zu Ezu, just like mitzvos are not capable of canceling one the other, which will be explained a little later. Kach Ein Isurin Mevatlin Zu Ezu. We've squiggled on the line the word Ein because this is the critical word at contrasting Rebbe Lozer with Reish Lakish. Rebbe Lozer is saying they do not, that the two prohibited substances cannot cancel one the other. Man Shamis Lei Diomer Ein Mitzvos Mevatla Zu Ezu. Who is it that is known to have said that mitzvahs do not cancel one the other? Hillel, it's the famous sage, the famous Tano Hillel. Desanya, let's read that again. Hillel, he, the opinion, that the shita that says ein mitzvahs mevatla zu ezu, that is the opinion of Hillel. Desanya, we have the following source, the contents of which may be familiar to many of you from the Seder night. On Pesach, we take at a certain point in the Seder, after one has eaten the basic matzah and the moror, he takes the matzah and eats it together with the moror. This is, our practice is a reflection of something that Hillel actually did in the Beis HaMikdash. Omru Olov al Hillel Hazokein. It was said about Hillel, Shehoya korchon bevas achas vioichlon. He would take the matzah and moror and eat them simultaneously. And we do not say that the taste of the moror cancels the taste of the matzah. And why did he eat them together? Mishum shenamar, because the pasuk says al matzah sumrorim yochluhu. The pasuk is telling us that the korban pesach is supposed to be eaten with matzah sumrorim. So the fact that it says matzah sumrorim, it's as far as Hillel is concerned, one is to eat them together. And as we said, the mitzvah of the moror is not mevatel the mitzvah of the matzah, or as Rashi says, the taste of the moror is not mevatel the taste of the matzah. And this is an illustration of ein mitzvos mevatla zu azu. And Rebbe Lozer went ahead and said, and just like mitzvos are not mevatla zu azu, so too with regard to prohibited substances, we don't say that one cancels the other. And if we revert back to the case Reish Lakish was dealing with, a person who was eating nosar and pigal, if that which he was eating was majority nosar, Reish Lakish said that if you could have determined it, the majority nosar would have canceled the minority of pigal. According to Rebbe Lozer, that's not the case. Tonu Rabbanan, the Gemara at the top of Omid Beis, features a Tanaic source. The Gemara, before we go on to read it, we have a topic and structural note in the outside margin. Nosei Mivneh. We will see the word Mayim appears in a diamond. Mekoros Soisrim Bichilis Kibus B'mayim Levatel Chomrim Hametamim. We'll see a contradiction as we go on in the Gemara, contradiction in two sources regarding the capability of water to cancel impure substances. Those include Zov and Roik Shel Nida. These are emissions from Tomei, from impure individuals. The Zov is one type of individual, had a bodily emission, and the name of that emission, the name of the substance is called Zoiv, and the saliva of a Nida, a woman who's experiencing her monthly cycle. those substances, the zov and the roik of the nida, are tomei substances. As we just mentioned in our note, we're going to be investigating the power of water to cleanse certain items of these substances. Tanu Rabbanan, Harson shel zav vizava. Harson is a shard that comes from a receptacle known as an ovid shomei raglayim. This was a receptacle that would contain urine in it, something that one might want to parallel to a child's potty. It was made, in this case, we had something made of earthenware. And the kli itself, the ovid, was broken into shards. So these earthenware fragments or pieces were absorbed with the mei raglayim of an impure individual. Very simply stated, the mei raglayim of a zav is a dover hametame. Now, these shards were then taken and rinsed in water. Pam rishain visheni tame. Even though the shards were rinsed with water once and a second time, the two-time rinsing is not sufficient to cause the exusion or the elimination of the absorbed mei raglayim. Shlishi tohar, however, a third rinsing is effective. Bamed vamumurim, shenosan l'soichoi mayim. This is so if you put into it, if you subjected it to water. Aval loy nosan l'soichoi mayim. However, if you applied it to urine of a tohar person, afilu asiri tome. Even if it were exposed to the tohar urine 10 times, it would remain tome. Min bemino is not botel. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Oimer, shlishi afalpi shaloi nosan l'soichi mayim tohor. According to Rabbi Zerman Yaakov, the third rinsing or contact, we'll say, was with mei raglayim of a tohor person that is capable of being metayer. In other words, he holds min bemino is capable of being mevatel. There's a thesis that points out briefly, Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov Omer, Mikan Raya L'Rabbeinu Tam, the Min Bemino Botil. Rabbeinu Tam feels that we have a mixture of like substances, one forbidden and one permitted. If the majority is permitted, there is cancellation of the forbidden substance. Because of Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov's opinion, the Kaimalon Mishnas Rabbi Lozer ben Yaakov Kavanoki. As Tosu says, we have a well-known rule that the wherever you see Rebbe Lozer ben Yaakov's name in Mishnayos, it is to be relied upon. We have the first opinion, though, said that the mei raglayim of a tohor is incapable of canceling the mei raglayim of a tomei. Man shamis le diomar min bemino lo botil. Whom is it known to have said that like substances are not botel in a majority? In other words, if you have a majority of permitted substance mixed with the same substance that happened to be forbidden, it would not be automatically allowed. Who is known to have said that? Rebbe Yehuda. We know that to be Rebbe Yehuda. So that the Tanakama of this source, notice, of course, where the diamond appears, that opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And he said, Rabbi Yehuda in the above source mentioned that water is capable of being mevatel. Namely, after 3 rinsings, the water was mevatel, the mei raglayim of the zav. The Raminu. We have another source, and we'll see that the water is incapable of creating tahara, of expunging the problematic substance. Pishton shetavosei nida. Pishtan is flax that's made into linen. So we're speaking about the spinning of the linen threads from the flax plant. And who is preparing these threads? A nida. While processing this, the nida woman, in order to maneuver the strings while she's working, she has to wet them from time to time with her saliva. So the pishtan that's being spun by the nida, masito tahor, one who moves those threads, those linen threads that were prepared by the nida, remains tahor. We're explaining this based on the idea that the saliva dried out and is no longer a factor because it simply is dried out. Vim hoyalach, if however the saliva is still wet, masito tome mishumashke piha, one who moves it is said to absorb tuma, become tome, become ritually impure because of mashke piha. When we talk about people that are tome, there are not only as the person themselves tome, but liquids that emerge from their body also communicate tuma. So one of the categories of liquids is called mashke piha, the liquids from her mouth. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, af haroitvoi b'mayim tome mishum mashke piha. If one encountered flax that were prepared by the nida and didn't perceive any wetness on it, but he applied water to it, thereby dampening the flax with the previously dried saliva, this revives the saliva, so to speak, and a person who has contact with this pishtan will become tomei. Vafilu tuva, even if it's a lot of water, in other words, even if the linen threads have been rinsed numerous times, it remains tomei. Well, that's the main problem. If you see, we have a little star to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text as well, in order to be able to contrast the two points. Above, we said that the water was able to cancel the tomei substance. In this case, it appears, and we should mention that the above source was Rebbe Yehuda, and this source we see Rebbe Yehuda featured. We've dashed underlined his name, and in this second source, the water seems to be incapable of annulling the tomei substance. The Gemara answers, Omar Rav Papa, shiny roke, the courier. The second source featured specifically saliva. Saliva is different because of its capacity of penetrating. The courier penetrates and becomes embedded in the host substance, in this case the flax linen threads. The case above was featuring urine, and that is capable of being expunged by its being subjected to water. Not so in the case of the saliva. The Gemara goes on, Nisarev Bedam Hapsulim. The Mishnah mentioned that if you have sacrificial blood that got mixed up with unacceptable blood from animals that were pusil, Yishofech li'amo, it's spilled out in the reject ditch. The Mishnah went on to say, Bedam hatamtzis, if the korban blood got mixed up with the residual blood, this is the blood that is not used for sprinkling on the altar, it's the blood that emerges from an animal after the lifeblood has exited the creature. This is described in greater detail in Maseches Krisus, but when the throat of the animal is cut, there is a gush of blood. At a certain point, the lifeblood emerges, and then as the blood continues flowing, the what's called the lifeblood, the dam ha-nefesh, finishes, but there's a continued emerging of blood. That's the dam ha-tamsis. So the Mishnah talks about a case of dam ha-tamsis that gets mixed up with korban blood. Korban blood being that blood which is supposed to be sprinkled on the altar. And in that case, the Tanakhama says, Yishofech Lama, it is also rejected. And Rebbe Elazar Machshir. Rebbe Elazar says, it says kosher, it's okay. When Rebbe Elazar appears in the Mishnah saying, it's okay, what is he referring to? Which case is he referring to? Before we go further in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and structural note in the outside margin. You'll notice a house form that's featured in our Gemara itself that highlights Rav Zvid and Rav Popa. On the side of the Gemara, we have an explanation. Deois lahasbir machlokes haTanoim b'Mishnasenu, different opinions appearing in the Gemara to explain the Tanaic controversy in the Mishnah b'Inyan Tarovas Dam, regarding the mixture of the sacrificial blood with other bloods. Number one, the Rav Zvid. According to Rav Zvid, haTanoim cholkin b'shnei mikrim, the Tanoim are arguing over two cases. One, Tarovas Im Dam Posel. Tarova, number two, Tarovas Im Dam Hatamsis. According to Rav Zvid, Rebbe Elazar, who appears in the Mishnah as saying kosher, is saying not only is the case, the second case where his name is attached to, the case of the mixture with the Dam Hatamsis kosher, but even in the case of the mixture with the Dam Posel, Rabbi Elazar will say it's okay and you can continue to sprinkle the mixture on the altar. However, Rav Papa, Atanaim Cholkim Rak Betaruvis Im Dam Hatamsis. Rak Bazeh Machshir Rabbi Elazar. But in the case of a mixture of sacrificial blood with Dam Psulim, that's blood that comes from animals that are unfit to be brought as korbanos altogether, in that case, Rebbe Elazar will concede that the mixture is unfit to be used. Turning to the Gemara. B'mai komiflugi. What is the underlying point of difference between Rebbe Elazar, who is machshir, and the Tanakhama, who says, Yishofeich la'amo, that it's spilled out into the rejection ditch? Omrav Zvid, begoizrin gezeiro b'mikdash komiflugi. When you're in the Beis HaMikdash, is there room for rabbinic stringencies? The more sovar goizrin. The Tanakhama says we do impose gezeros. Umor sovar, Rabbi Elazar will say loy goizrin. We don't impose gezeros. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is found in the lower part of the narrow lines. Begoizrin gezero b'mikdash pligi. Im oisin siog b'kotshim. Do we make fences? Fences, that means a legal fence. In the realm of kotshim, of sacrifices. Laharchik min avera, to distance one from violation. V'lo chayshin lefsid kotshim. And if we hold that you do make these legal fences, then it means that we're not really concerned with the loss of those things that are legitimately holy. Shelo yafsidis elu, that we're not worried about the loss of these, the kosher ones, b'shvil siog d'achirim, because of the need to make offense concerning the others. This topic, kol miflugi, is the point of difference, controversy. Tanakhama Soma, Rashi goes on, we have used diamonds for your marking convenience around the Tanakhama, and later Rabbi Elazar, where his opinion will be explained. Tanakhama Sovar Goizrin, that we do impose fences and restrictions to prevent from coming to a real violation. Hilkoch, Nisariv Dam Kosher B'dam Posel, Oy B'dam Atamsis. If kosher sacrificial blood got mixed up with either Dam of a Posel, of an animal unworthy of being a korban, or with dam atamsis, that residual blood, Even if the problematic blood is the minority, is insufficient for voiding the kosher blood, nevertheless, you spill it out. It's a mixture. Because if we allow any mixture, you might come to allow a situation where the problematic blood really does outweigh in quantity the kosher blood. And the fact that we don't impose such a restriction with the other mixtures mentioned, namely mixture of korban blood with mundane, with chulin blood, or with chaya blood, undomesticated kosher animals, which are not fit for the mizbeach, mishum dechulin dazor lo shchich, because those are very unusual cases. It would be very unusual to have sacrificial blood getting mixed up with chulin blood. Chulin, mundane items, were not commonly found in the Azorah. Avol, psulim shchichi. But animals that become unfit to serve as korbanos, that is common, relatively speaking. V'chein, tamsis shchiach, derova al dam hanefesh. And to have residual blood in a greater quantity than the dam hanefesh, that is common. Therefore, the Tanakhama says, since there's a possibility of a real bittul taking place, a real greater quantity of unacceptable blood in the cases of dam psulim and dam tamsis, then as a result of that, any mixture they will render pusul. Rebbe Elazar savar ein goizrin. Rebbe Elazar says we don't impose across the board rules and restrictions. The chachamim shall hafsid kochim machmas gzera. The chachamim are worried about having korbanos go to waste. Hilkoch ad shemin apostle kidei sheilu hayamayim lo yonikar dama kosher boy. Therefore, Rebbe Elazar holds that even in the case of a mixture with dam apostel, the mixture will not become unfit unless you have a situation where there is there's so much dam apostel that if it were water, the dam kosher would not create a red U to it. But Kolzman, as long as there is enough minority dam kosher in this mixture, that if the dam apostle would be water, there would be a red tinge to it, it would still be kosher, according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Rashi goes on, Hochi Garcina Rav Papa Amar de Kuli Alma Goizrin, V'hocha b'dam hatamtzis motzui. The Kuli Alma Goizrin, according to Rav Papa, everyone holds that you would make a gezerah. And as a result of that, in the case of dam psulim, a mixture with dam psulim, Rebbe Elazar will be restrictive. According to this approach, everyone, including Rebbe Elazar, is not worried about the wasting of kochim. Ubeminis arev bedam psulim, Rashi goes on to say, the milsa de shchichahu, which is a common situation, lo polig Rebbe Eliezer. Rebbe Eliezer doesn't disagree and says, throw it out. Elabeminis arev bedam tamsis luchud polig. The only time Rebbe Eliezer is lenient is with regard to a mixture of korban blood with the residual blood. Simply because that case is very uncommon. Notice with our markings, we are contrasting with this diagonal slash line, the expression above, shchicha, that was the case of taruvus with dam sulim, with the case of eno motsui. Eno motsui is a contrast with the expression shchicha, uncommon situation where dam hatamsis would out quantify the dam of the sacrifices. And as a result of that, since it's Einu Motsu is Rabal Dama Nefesh being the lifeblood, the blood used for sprinkling, Hilkoch Amai Nigzor. Why in the world should we impose a gzera on something that's unlikely to happen? Davilei Kinesar V'dam Chulin. Because as far as we're concerned, that's like the case of the mixture with the Dam HaChulin, which we mentioned earlier, that's very unlikely, because it's not Shchiach to have Chulin Be'azora. The Tanakama Sovar Pa'omim Shurabu Al Dam HaNefesh. The Tanakama, though, remains strict even with regard to the mixture with Dam HaTamsis, because sometimes it could happen that it's more, there is more Dam HaTamsis than Dam HaNefesh. Kukas Rinon Be Hecha De Lo Rava Otu Hecha De Rava. The Chachomim make a Dezera of the case where it's not Rava in anticipation of the case that it is Rava, where it does out-quantify. But as the Mishnah said, if he didn't consult and applied it anyway in its mixture form, v'nosan, and he put it on the mizbeach, kosher, the gzera v'yam, because it's a mere gzera, it's a mere rabbinic restriction. But if you went ahead and did it anyway, you would still fulfill the requirements. So at this point in the Gemara, we have a machlokas Rav Zvid and Rav Papa regarding under what circumstances is Rabbi Eliezer machshir. According to Rav Zvid, Rabbi Eliezer is machshir in both cases. The korban blood getting mixed up with dam psulim and korban blood getting mixed up with dam atamsis. According to Rav Papa, Rabbi Eliezer is machshir only in the case of the mixture with the dam hatamsis. Let us read Rav Papa again. Rav Papa Amar, de kule alma goizrin. Everyone holds that we would impose gzeros, everyone including Rav Eliezer, we would impose gzeros and not preoccupy ourselves or concern ourselves with the loss of the kochim. V'hocha, and here in the Mishnah, to explain why Rabbi Eliezer does not impose the gzera, it's because his leniency is restricted to the case of the Dama Tamsis. Here, in our Mishnah, the issue is the residual blood being a common occurrence in out-quantifying the Dam HaNefesh, the korban blood. Komiflugi. This is their point of controversy. Morsovar Shriach, the Tanakama holds, it is a common, it's a common or common enough occurrence to warrant making a gezerah across the boards, ruling unfit any mixture of korban blood with Dam HaTamsis. Morsovar, Rebbe Lozer, on the other hand, holds lo Shriach. Therefore, if you have a mixture of Dam HaTamsis with Dam HaNefesh, according to Rabbi Eliezer, you can still do the Zrikas Adam. Bishlamo l'Rav Papa, Hainu dekatoni. Things work out well according to Rav Papa that said that Rabbi Eliezer's restriction is only in one of the cases, the second case. The structure of the Mishnah makes sense. Hainu dekatoni, nisarev bedam hapsulim yishofech la'amo. Bedam atamsis yishofech la'amo. Notice how you have the spilling into the ditch taught twice, each time with regard to the to separate cases, because Rebbe Eliezer's machshir is going only on the second one. Ela l'Rav Zvid, but according to Rav Zvid, that says that the machlokis is across the boards, then arvinu v'lisninu, the Mishnah should have taught the idea of the Tanakama of spilling tiyama only once, namely teach the two examples together. You would say, for example, nisarev bedama psulim o bedama tamsis yishofech la'amo. In other words, the way we presented it, teach the two circumstances together and with one ruling of Yishofech La'amo, and on that, Rebbe Eliezer is machshir, indicating, as Rav Zvid would have wanted you to think, that Rav Zvid is allowing across the boards. But it doesn't say it like that. The Mishnah breaks them up into two separate cases. leaving us with the feeling that Rebbe Lozer, when he's coming to be Mashir, is only going on one of the cases, more specifically the second case. So the Gemara says, as far as this structural consideration favoring Rav Papa's approach, leaves us with a kashya, a bit of a difficulty with regard to Rav Zvid's approach. As we continue in the Mishnah, this Mishnah is rather long. It continues to the top of Daf Pei. As in the context of today's Shir, we will continue the Mishnah till the bottom of this Amid, and that's it. The Mishnah says, Dam Tamimim Bidam Bali Mumim. If there is a mixture of unblemished korbanos, that the blood of tomim, of unblemished, which are of course acceptable sacrifices, got mixed up with the blood of bale mumin, of blemished animals, yishofech le'amo, that's to be spilled out into the rejection ditch, the ditch that carried out the liquids from the azora of the basin to outside. Kais b'kaisais, let us say we have a case of a confusion arising between cups of blood. In other words, you have a cup of baal mum dam that got mixed in with cups of kosher blood, and it's simply unidentified which one is the baal mum kos. Rabbi Lezer Omer, im korev kos echad, if one of the cups was already offered, yikrivu kol hakosis, then you can offer all of the rest of them. Once again, the case was one cup of baal mum, blood got mixed up amongst a group of kosher cups of blood. Rabbi Lezer says that you have if one was already offered, so we can say that, well, the one that was offered was the baal mum blood, and the rest is the kosher blood, so continue offering it. V'chachamim omrim, afilu korvu kulon chutz me'echad mehem. V'chachamim take an extreme opposite opinion, saying that even if all of the cups were offered with the exception of one, and one remains, yishafech lamo, it shall be spilled out in the rejection ditch. A third case, hanitnin lamato, shenis arvu benitnin lamalo. Nitnin lamato is a reference to those sacrifices whose blood is ordinarily or is expected to be applied to the lower half of the mizbeach. Example of that would be a korban shlomim or an olas behema. Benitnin lamala, that's blood of a sin offering of a korban chatas. So there's a mix up between, there's a mixture of nitnin lamala with nitnin lamata. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yitain lamala, apply the blood to the upper part of the mizbeach. But now in that application, are you not applying lower blood as well to an incorrect place for it? So he says, V'roya nisa tachtonim milamalon, I will view the tachton blood when it is above, ki'ilu heim mayim, as if it's water. This is a reference to a sugya that we've seen earlier, that as long as you don't have strict sacrificial intention, then the action is not viewed as problematic. So as long as I'm viewing the lower bloods in it when applied to the upper part of the mizbech, not as a blood application in my mind's eye, but it's as if I was applying water, that's okay, says Rabbi Lezer. So after I applied the blood to the upper part of the mizbech, when I finish the upper applications, then v'yachzor v'yitein lamato, then apply the balance of the blood to the lower part of the mizbeach in order to fulfill the lower requirement. V'chachomim omrim, yishofech li'amo. They say if you have these upper bloods, it gets mixed up with the lower bloods, spill it out, because they don't have this idea of royin, of viewing the lower blood on the applied to the upper part of the mizbeach as if it's water. V'imlo nimlach v'nosan kosher. However, if there was no consultation and they applied it anyway, one fulfills the requirement. The elyon is considered legitimately applied. the Shita Mekubetzes adds that in the Os Yud Zayin, that he says on this Os Yud Zayin is a comment on the Rashi. So what we should do is let's read the Rashi at the very bottom of the Omid. V'im lo nimlach v'nosan kosher, if there was no consultation and it was applied anyway, ho'elyon, the upper application is kosher, the ha'nita mimenu lamala, because after all, there was elyon blood applied to the upper part of the Mizbeach. But now, how do you have a right to say that? What gives you the strength to say that it was applied? So the Shita Megubetzes in Yud Zayin says, Desavri Yesh Bila, because we're accepting the concept of uniform mixture. And if you hold there was uniform mixture, therefore, when you did the application of the mixture of blood to the upper part of the Mizbeach, there was a representation of upper blood in that application. Because if you were to say Ein Bila, then it could be, if you don't say there's uniform mixture in the uniform liquid mixture, then it's possible that your upper application contained only lower blood. But nevertheless, we say Yesh Bila. And as a result of that, V'yachzer V'yitein Lamato, you would then go on to do the lower application as well. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.